As always, welcome to the show.
This is a huge morning for momentum stock traders.
John and Jack know.
This market started strong and has continued now for more than an hour.
That's right.
This is the perfect scenario for momentum short-term traders.
And they'll tell you about them weekdays at 10.
So you're going to see that market as a whole begin to stall in about 30, 40 minutes just because that group is through.
Where Wall Street meets Main Street. Weekdays at 10 on the Biz Radio Network.
You are listening to Bar Talk on the Biz Radio Network with Arturo De Leon and Daphne Patterson. And we are talking about financial fraud today. And when we left off, I was starting giving a few examples after having talked about the very ridiculous statutes that are written to prosecute people in this area. I was talking about a few examples, and I wanted to give you a few more of the things that happen, and really so that you can see that there are some complications that can cause you to get involved in one of these things, and you don't necessarily realize it. So as the problems come in when the government doesn't perceive the business idea or the business, well, they're going to call a scheme, but the business plan, maybe what you're calling it, a business plan, as legitimate. And you may think that it is legitimate. So, for example, you have a project where somebody had an idea for a new product, maybe a clean air product, you know, one that filters out smoke because it's not, you know, it's not PC to smoke now. So maybe you've invented some product that's going to suck out the smoke, or you've heard that this product is out there, and then you understand the product is in the process of being in production. Well, and then there may be some confusion on the government's part on whether or not it's really in production. And you might find yourself with a target letter, and you really thought that there was a product in production. And how this can happen is probably that you're not the person right at the top. Probably there was someone who had hatched the idea and then got you involved in some way and said, look, this other person designed this product. This is the schematic, which you probably wouldn't recognize because you're not an engineer. And so it looks legitimate to you. And you find yourself in the middle, and he tells you that, well, there's products in production. We've got a production engineer on scene. It's in another city that you couldn't go check out. And you think that there's something that's going on. And you find out when you get this target letter that maybe there's not. That's the way these things really get complex. It's not quite as simple as I've been describing it as, because the government and you may perceive this differently. Now, really, this person may have thought that he was going to get this thing into production if he just could get some more money. And so he enlists your help thinking that he's going to get some more money and then he's going to get into production. But that may not be something that the government thinks is an okay business plan. So I think the trick here is to make sure that anything you're doing is completely true. Anything you say is completely true and accurate. And so if you're getting the information from someone else, you want to do the kinds of stuff we call, don't y'all call that due diligence? And
that's right.
In the accounting field. And
right. You want to kick the tires and look at the books and talk to the financial people. Don't just let the person that's recruiting you as an investor or as a participant answer the questions. You actually want to talk to the controller. You actually want to talk to the legal advisor. And you want to talk to as many people as you can beside that person, so that you're getting third-party information.
And if there's a product, see the product in
That's
operation.
Right. Yep.
And if you need, this is the kind of thing actually that Art can do in his business, is help you evaluate transactions to make sure you're making a good decision on the legal side, right? You
yes.
Do that kind of thing. I think you'd said you get some calls from clients about investments they're trying to decide upon.
Right. Well, I've gotten calls before from clients that want to make investments, and they're doing exactly what you just described. They're talking to someone at the top, and they're having their questions answered, and they want to know, is it sound legitimate? And they'll hand me the paperwork, which usually is a contract, and the contract's usually in good form, but it's a contract, and people can default on a contract. So I tell them what we just discussed, to kick the tires and ask questions and ask to meet other officers and bankers, even outside parties, if at all possible.
Yeah. If it's a product and it's in another city, go there.
That's right.
That's the only way you can kick the tires is if you actually see it and see the operation going on. So that's just sort of a way to avoid getting involved with these kind of problems. There are other situations that a little more common than, say, a new product are the financial schemes that you may hear about that you could get involved with. Someone who's done stockbroking or who's been doing financial work could contact you and say, I understand you're a good salesperson. Perhaps you've been in sales in some other industry and they've seen you. You're a good salesperson. I'd like for you to start selling these financial products for us. And the same thing goes for that. There may not be something you can kick, but do your same due diligence. I've had a number of clients who received target letters who I believe were completely unaware that the money they were bringing to the boss wasn't actually being invested in some real financial investment. It was not, they assumed that, and in fact, it was going into the boss's pocket. And so you really would be surprised how good these people can be at presenting themselves and how easy you could be to get roped in.
And my experience with the investment deals has been that, and once again, I don't necessarily...
we don't have
evaluate,
the money to invest ourselves.
Right. But if it smells, then it, you know, if they're guaranteeing you a return in the double digits, then you know you really need to do some due diligence. I mean, it right there, it's going to make me suspicious.
There was an example you were telling me about a popular Houston story from about 20 years ago.
In a very forgotten way, because I don't remember the details, but there was an investor, a securities person in Houston that was very well known, made the social circuits, gave to charities, knew the power people, and they basically developed a Ponzi scheme where they were guaranteeing double-digit returns, and it wasn't just, they weren't taking advantage of just anybody. They were actually targeting well-educated office holders, wealthy individuals, successful business people, well-educated folks, and people were investing because this person had so much credibility in the community, as in society, the social scene. That, and of course, she returned their double-digit investment with money that was invested by other individuals, and eventually, she bought a house in River Oaks and put roots in Houston, and eventually the scheme came apart, and she's sent to jail. But obviously, all those individuals lost their money, and we're talking about smart, well-educated business people.
And so she probably had some people that ended up working for her who may have even themselves believed that it was a legitimate investment that they were securing clients for.
Yeah, ultimately, in these schemes, the inner circle is very small.
Mm-hmm. That actually knows of the falsity, and yet the net that is cast by the federal government may be much larger than that. Enron being a good example, we all know that they cast their net very large to bring in all potential witnesses at the same time they brought in all potential targets, and in attacking the financial falsity of things that were going on. I do want to back up a second to the issue of products too. If you are involved in creating a new product, which is super. This is an entrepreneurial country. You're supposed to want to, you know, have the American dream and go out and invent something and sell it. Keep meticulous records. If you're doing that and there may be the potential sometime down the road that the government doesn't see what you've done as accurate. If you have kept meticulous records of what you've done, of the product and where the product's going, and of what you have told potential investors, if there's anything in writing, keep copies of it. And of course, we've already talked about making sure it's completely true, whatever you put in writing. But keeping those meticulous records will help you to show the government that you acted in good faith, which brings me around to some of the defenses to these type charges. There's always something we call defenses. And in my research, there was a large amount of material on what the charges are and on what your sentences could be, and a very small amount of material on the defenses. Probably most of these materials were prepared by the prosecutors instead of defense attorneys, but in the few pages that I was able to find on defenses and from my experience defending folks that have been charged with these things. And I've defended a number of folks charged with either mortgage fraud or mail fraud or wire fraud. And there's even some cyber crimes involved that are involving devices and mechanisms for defrauding through devices. There's a lot of different white collar cases I've seen. None of them were so simple as someone who just clear cut had lied about something. So this is where you can circle around to the defenses. The first defense that I can say that there is a lack of knowledge or intent. So if you have the fella that's working for this lady that was in River Oaks, who bought her argument and started working for her, he may not have the specific intent to have defrauded, even though his actions may have put something in a letter in the mail to all his friends, may have gone to his church and talked about it. His actions are fraudulent in appearance to those that stand outside and look at it because they know that he's selling a false product. He may not know it because he bought that. So that's called a lack of knowledge or intent. He didn't intend to do anything wrong because he didn't know what she was doing was fraud.
And that's going to be a very important defense to employees and associates that are brought in and just sold on the financial basis of the return that can be made working for that person.
Yes, absolutely. And that's going to be probably the key defense for those folks. The next one is a lack of materiality in the false statement. So we've talked about the fact that there has to be some false statement that's made. If that false statement is not material, that's a defense. So let's say an easy one, you filled out a loan application for a commercial loan. And we talked earlier about putting something on there about having a tenant when you don't. That would be a problem. But let's say you just have the wrong address down. Well, that's not a wrong address for yourself. You just moved and you don't remember your current address. You write down the wrong address. That's not material. So, and that's sort of a simple example of what can be not material. But it's the kind of thing, if there's something on the application that isn't something that the bank would consider, that would be not material. And so if the government is trying to say, well, that was false right there, you may have a defense if you can show it was material.
It would be something that the investor or the other party relied upon that could have impacted their decision strongly.
Right, right. And so if it's not, that may be a defense. There are several other defenses that we will talk about in a few minutes just to sort of round out this process. You are listening to the Biz Radio Network, Bar Talk, Arturo DeLeon and Daphne Pattison. Call us if you have any thoughts, fears, anything like that, 877-777-7713. This is Daphne Pattison, Arturo DeLeon, and Bar Talk.
You're listening to the Biz Radio Network.
Have you been targeted or arrested by federal or state law enforcement? If that happens, stop. Seek